Captain Eddie, tell us about your travels to find parts for the airplane during the restoration time. Where did you have to go to get the parts?
Well, basically, once I bought the airplane, you know, I saw the thing and I go, you know, this is an undervalued thing. You know what I mean? People don't know what it is in the U.S. They've never seen it before. You know, the Canadians had theirs, and theirs, you know, was tragically lost in 77. So I figured, you know what, now's the time to buy stuff. So, I mean, I traveled all over the world to buy everything. I had flown on exchange with Royal Australian Navy guys that were in the U.S. Navy with me. And so the Royal Australian Navy has a historic flight. And their historic flight operated an S-2, a Firefly. They've got a Sea Fury, Iroquois helicopter. And the reserves flew those airplanes to their air shows. We don't have, you know, Britain has the same thing with the Battle of Britain Memorial Flight, where they have, you know, active duty and reserve guys fly those airplanes. We don't have anything like that here. I mean, this is all private individuals. So what happened was, everybody goes, oh, well, you can trust this guy because we've flown with him. We know him. And what would ever be the strange fate that I would end up with an airplane from Australia? So basically, they had a lot of the spares I needed, and I had all the spares they needed. So we traded all this stuff back and forth. And, of course, you're dealing with a government, so it's hard. And that all happened. And then I traveled. Someone saw an article about me in Smithsonian. I'll give you a couple of just quick stories. And he had a bunch of Griffin engine stuff. He said, the Smithsonian called me and they said, hey, this guy wants to email you. And I said, yeah, go ahead and email. Let him. I don't care. So he goes, I have a bunch of stuff that you want. And I go, what do you have? And he goes, I have all this Griffin stuff. And I go, how'd you get that? And he goes, he didn't say. So basically traveled to Cyprus. And there's a base there called RAF Akatiri, and that they flew the Shackleton bombers out of there. And so some Greek Cypriot guy, I mean, I must have been kind of crazy, but he bought two of the Shackleton bombers, and what came with the Shackleton bombers were 16 containers of spares. And so he defaulted on there's just no way you'd have money to take care of any of this stuff, right? So, you know, the last Shackleton is here in the U.S. It's at Pima Air Museum. And so I can use the heads and banks off of those engines, at the 58s. And so he had 52 boxes of brand new, overhauled 58 heads and banks. So I got to have that stuff, right? So I traveled to Cyprus, and the guy turned out to own a salvage company, the largest salvage ships in the Mediterranean. He's the guy that carried the Russian Mir submarines to dive on the Titanic. So that's just one guy. The Spinner and Cowles, they were wrecked. You know, they were on an airplane that had crashed. And so a friend of mine in Australia said, I know where there's a spinner and some cowls. So the mechanic said, well, it's going to cost like $50,000 to make a spinner. And I'm going, no, that doesn't sound good. So they're on the wall of a bar. I go, where's the bar? And they go, we have no idea. So 6 months later, he calls me, he goes, I found the bar. It's in Melbourne. So we flew an air show. We're in Tasmania, and then on the way back, we said, well, let's go to Melbourne and we'll look at it. And sure enough, there it is up on the wall of the bar. I mean, painted with shark's teeth, and it had like a little picture of a firefly next to it. And I go, I got to have this stuff. So we talked to the bar. They go, we're not going to sell it. It's an integral part of our decor. I go, okay. Oh, that sucks. So 6 months later, I get a call. Guess what? The bar's on leased land. They're building the convention center. The bar has to be torn down. I go, oh, good. So he goes, Everything is up for auction. So in between the ladies' soap dispensers and the men's urinals was a thing called the bomb aimer nose. And the bomb aimer nose is the spinner in these cowls. And so my friend said, I said, can you go bid on it? He goes, no, I can't. I got a cell phone. I got another guy that's going to do that. So I call up at the end. I said, wait, I got to have it. I mean, I don't care what it costs, but don't tell the auction people because they'll just raise the price on me and that'll kill me, right? I mean, they could make $1 trillion off of me. So long story longer. He calls me up. I said, good news and bad news. And I said, what's the good news? Bad news. He goes, my cell phone died halfway through the auction. I go, oh, that's not good. I said, what's the good news? He goes, you have the bomb aimer nose. He goes, but you paid more for that than anything in the auction. How much did I pay? He goes, $1,500 Australian, which is like $1,000. I go, oh. So then he said, well, you know, the Navy can't pick it up for you, but I have a guy that's going to take care of it over there. So we're just going to put it in his warehouse. So a year later, good news and bad news. The bomb aimer nose is at at the Naval Air Station Nara, which is south of Sydney, but it's all damaged. He said the spinner's crushed, the cowls are all scratched up. I go, well, it didn't look like that on the wall, so we don't know who did it, the guy that stored it or were the workmen taken off the wall or whatever. He goes, good news and bad news, we have a guy here that can fix it, but you have to buy him a microwave for their shop. I said, okay, here's the microwave. So he fixes it all up. It gets shipped to Colorado. Good news and bad news. The bomb aimer knows is here, but the forklift tines went through the box. I go, oh, no, you got to be kidding me. So it got restored one more time, and then a friend of mine tells me 2 years later there was a made-for-Australia TV show that was on, and somebody was going to attack and kill the prime minister. You got to remember this is a show. And they opened up the container. They were smuggling an F-4 into – this is a TV show, right? They're smuggling an F-4 in a 40-foot container to attack the prime minister. And he said when they opened the container up, he goes, guess what was in the container? I go, what was in the container? He goes, the bomb aimer knows. So that's just one part.
Was that the hardest part to get?
No, that wasn't.
What was the hardest part?
I don't know. I mean the engine stuff. Everything is hard. I mean, nothing is easy. And the problem is, but you, all of you guys out here that restore airplanes and do everything, you know, this is all British, right? So it's not metric, it's not AN, it's all British. And so the hardware is extremely expensive. And the screws, the thread pitches are different. The angles of the heads are all different. And so you have to buy everything from England or some Commonwealth country. And this stuff, since eBay has arrived, it's good and bad, because a lot of this stuff are sitting on people's shelves. Oh, I got a Firefly part at home, and it's sitting on my shelf, and it's like something I need, right? And so the airplane that crashed, that went up on the pole in Griffith. That's still up there. And you know what? That's like all the spare parts are sitting up on that pole. It's like, I want those things.
Which wing is from 1948?
I don't know. You'd have to come over here and look at it. You can come look and see what the little tag says. I'm not sure which one it is, but you know how we found that out is we were putting a bunch of bolts in it, and they didn't fit. And I go, you ordered, these things were high-strength bolts, and I said, you ordered all this stuff. And I can't believe you ordered stuff that doesn't fit. And he goes, the two wings are different, and that's how we figured it out.
Relating to the parts that you've purchased, what do you think your total cost is for restoring this airplane?
Oh. We'll just say it's a lot.
Oh, and my other, and then just my other comment, Steve, your museum in Hamilton is fabulous.
Yep. It's a couple Mustangs worth. Good Mustangs.
Is there a reason the British engines turn the wrong way compared to the American engines?
I think it's the same reason why they drive on the wrong side of the road. But you know what? Someone pointed out to me once, they said, you know, in the Navy airplanes, it actually works out pretty good because, you know, you're always flying a left pattern, right? So as you come through the 90, if you get slow and you stall the airplane, which way does it roll? It's going to roll to the right. So it's going to roll more upright. What's a U.S. plane do? It rolls to the left and it goes right in. So, and you can see pictures up. They have a lot of, if you guys go online, you can look, you know, guys getting in close wave offs, and because it does turn the wrong way, the airplane goes to the right. There's a picture of one of these sticking out of the funnel on one of the carriers. I mean, flew right into the island.
I think you said that this was a radar and the radar operator was back there. So the radar's gone. What is the backseat for?
He's just a navigator then. And in fact, you know what? They even took him. He was a navigator for the whole time in Korea, but there were always two guys in the airplane. And in fact, when it towed targets, he was the guy that got to stuff the target out through that chute that's on the bottom.
Anyone else? We got some time here. Yeah, right here.
Put it right up against each other. This is just a general question, but can you tell me who the commentator was on the film that we watched before you guys came up?
David Hartman. By the way, David will be here starting tomorrow afternoon and be here through Saturday.
Could you tell us what the prop diameter is?
14.9. So it's supposedly the biggest prop that was ever put on a British fighter.
The someone else? Well, thanks for coming, folks. But we have also for you veterans, we have a challenge coin here, and it's from Fagan Fighters World War II Museum, and it's it'll be available. I don't know where Kyle is right now. She'll be running out here in a minute. Here she is, the lady, the pretty lady with a little straw hat, and she's got that for your veterans. And I want to kind of promote the Warbirds now. You don't have to be own a Warbird to be a member of the Warbirds. As a matter of fact, most of us members do not own Warbirds for numerous reasons. But we would love to have you as a member. We have a Warbird building over here on our left. It also has all our merchandise. It's got numerous books, and it's got Bud Anderson's books in there. There's a lot of them in there that if you have an aviation library, you should look around in that thing. And also, we want to promote FlyingTV.com. They're the ones that are filming this, and it's live streamed now, and it's going all over the world. You can wave now and see your mother can see you. And thanks again for coming. Really appreciate it. I don't know. I don't control it.